Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. If there is one adjective, a word which describes Christmas, I would say that that is joy. The joy of Christmas. In fact, the most usual Christmas greeting to a person is Merry Christmas. If you think, though, that joy is primarily an emotional state, a sense of happiness, and further, if you don't happen to be experiencing happiness now, you can start berating yourself or ask yourself the question, where is my Christmas joy? Why am I not happy? Is there something wrong with me? To answer this question, what is the meaning of joy in Scripture? We need to realize that the same word for joy can also be translated rejoice and give thanks. Rather than seeing joy merely as a state of mind dependent upon happy circumstances, our joy is built upon the grace of God and His saving work for His people. As Christians, then, we are to learn the art and the discipline of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Colossians 1 tells us why we can find joy in God's blessings to us and give thanks to Him for our salvation and the author from whom our salvation comes, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my first point is joyously giving thanks for Christ's salvation of His people. Colossians 1, 11 through 14 says this, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We are to joyously give thanks to God for rescuing us from ourselves, from the bondage of sin and the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The discipline of thanksgiving must be a commitment on our part, or it will be ignored, because gratitude does not come naturally to any of us because of original sin. Paul uses the phrase in Colossians 1:11 that by God's power we attain all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to God the Father. Grasping to attain steadfastness and patience is a hard work indeed. In fact, we can only attain these virtues of patience, steadfastness, and joyously giving thanks by the grace of God. When Paul speaks of God rescuing His people from the kingdom of darkness and transferring us into the kingdom of light, he has in mind what God has already done in the Old Testament as He delivered His people from Egypt and brought them to the promised land, which He swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The exodus of God's people from Egypt to the promised land is a prefiguring, a foreshadowing of what happened to the new covenant people of God in the new exodus. To become a Christian as we're united to Christ by faith in Him, we leave the Egypt of sin and journey gratefully toward the promised land of God's new heavens and new earth. God's power has already delivered Christian believers from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we receive these new covenant blessings of the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption of our souls. God's power is now available to continue the work of bringing our hearts and lives into the conformity of the new age to come. And so we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And we realize that that is a struggle. It's a struggle to do that as we suffer, and yet we cry out to the God of all grace. God mentions these blessings through Paul as he speaks of being transferred from one kingdom to another, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are to joyously give thanks to God the Father, since God's gracious mercy is neither deserved nor earned. We really need to acknowledge and truly be grateful with great joy to God for His redeeming love, no matter what particular circumstances we're facing now. That brings me to my second point, is that we are to joyously give thanks for Christ Himself. The Apostle Paul tells us a number of things about the identity of our Lord Jesus. He tells us in Colossians 1:15 that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the image of the invisible God because He is God Himself. This is not just like children resembling either their mother or father. This is an exact image and representation because Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Jesus said about Himself in John chapter 14, "He who has seen Me has seen the Father." The writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says this about Christ's divine nature. "He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power." And so Jesus Christ, being the image of the invisible God, He is the exact image. As Jesus said about Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus, in His life, always followed the way of His Father in everything He did. He also always spoke the truth of God in His teaching. And last of all, He gave Himself for the life of the world as He died on the cross. What we need to know and practice is gratefully giving thanks to God for His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who is the exact image of God. He is the perfect reflection of who God is, for He is God who has come in the flesh. Paul also tells us that Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. Colossians 1:16 says that all things were made by Him and for Him. This brings us straight into the reality that while Jesus of Nazareth is human, He is more than human. He is the God-man and the creator of all things. Notice also that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, says that all creation was created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. We are set here on earth not to create our own purpose, our own agenda, or our own rules. We are created to fulfill God's purpose, God's law, and God's will. We are created to believe, trust in, and obey Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation. The phrase "firstborn" used in reference to Jesus is unique because of his unique and eternal relationship with God the Father. Ordinarily, firstborn refers to the eldest son of a family, but Jesus never had a beginning. Firstborn can also mean the favored son, the supreme son within a family. So there are certain exceptions in the Old Testament where the oldest son did not get the firstborn blessing. Esau among his twins, Jacob and Esau, born to Isaac and Rebekah, while Esau was the older of the twins, he forfeited his firstborn blessing, and that went to Jacob, the chosen one. Jesus, thus, is not a creature, but the creator. And not only is Jesus called the firstborn of all creation, he is also called the firstborn from the dead in Colossians 1:18. He is the firstborn of the new creation, as he was the first one raised from the dead by God the Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is the source of all creation and new creation, he is the Lord and the head of the church. He is the eternal Son of God who includes and adopts as God's sons all those who are united by faith in him in his divine human identity. He is the only begotten Son who is the source of all the adopted sons of God. The whole family of God is destined by God to be conformed to the image of his Son. Paul also says about Jesus that he is our Redeemer. In Colossians 1:20, Paul says, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." By Christ's death on the cross, he conquered sin and death and achieved for us peace and reconciliation with God for all those who trust in God's Son and our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ accomplished peace with God as he brought healing to our souls and to our bodies. We have the healing of our souls as we trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. In the beginnings of our sanctification as we die to sin and live to righteousness. Eventually, our souls will be fully healed of all sin when we die and go to be with the Lord. And further, our bodies also will be fully and finally healed in the resurrection of the dead at the last day. This is the peace that Christ accomplished for us by his death and by giving up of his life for us. And so the peace of Christ is ours as we are united to Jesus Christ. We can also continue to cry out to him for peace as we go through the trail of tears of this life. And so we're to give thanks to God for our salvation and for his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our God, our Creator, and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your grace, you have delivered and kept your people. Help us to be true and faithful in our witness of you in this world, that we may come to your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen.